stuff or sports themed stuff, whatever your favorite. Some people don't like football. Some people like football. Some people like baseball, basketball, whatever your sport is. We've just kind of been getting in that mindset of getting in the game. That's something that we can think about. But with this series, I just want to encourage each of you to find your place where you fit with the skills and the talents that God has given you to work to make God's church a place that's moving forward. And that's what we want to do. But it's better to get in the game than to sit on the sidelines. Amen? That's what I want to do. I want to get in the game. I don't like sitting on the sidelines. But one thing that I believe that it takes to get in the game is authentic faith. Now, here's my thought. Saying you're a Christian and doing good from time to time does not mean that you have authentic faith. Now, sure, we all mess up from time to time, but when you do mess up, we need to ask God for forgiveness. Don't let the shame or the guilt or the stubbornness, right, that often accompanies sin cause you to distance yourself from God and the local church. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. It's important that we get up, wipe the dirt off our face, and just get back in the game, right? And so God wants to use you to do His will. You can't do God's will if you're not genuine. We need genuine people with authentic faith. And you know, you can't do God's will if you beat yourself up over the guilt that you have. Right? I mean, it's time that we just confess our sins, believe that you are forgiven, and go and do the will of God. Now, in football, there is a list of players known as the PUP list, P-U-P. And PUP stands for physically unable to perform. Now, these are players that are on the injury list. Some could be on that list for one game. Some are listed as a game time decision. And then there are others that are on that list for multiple weeks, not just one week, but they could be. And some of them could have such severe injuries that they are on the list for the whole season. They are considered out for the season. Now, as believers, this is not a list that we want to be on. God has given each of us, you and I, a mission, and He is expecting us to accomplish that mission. Now, if we want to accomplish this mission, then we must have authentic faith. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew, and I'll be reading from chapter 7. And if you want to, you can go ahead and hold your place at First John chapter 2. But I want to begin at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And it says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" You see, having authentic faith, it requires three things. Number one, doing the will of the Father. That is something that's so important. Look at verse 21 again. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does" what? "The will of my Father who is in heaven." That's something that's so important for us. We need to do the will of the Father. Jesus emphatically taught that carrying out God's purposes and desires was a condition for entering the kingdom of heaven. Now, this does not mean, however, that we can earn spiritual salvation by our own works. God's forgiveness comes to us through faith and repentance. Now, it's made possible by the grace and sacrificial death of Christ, who gave His perfect life to pay the ultimate penalty for our sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He paid that price. He paid that penalty. And so for us, the obedience to God's will demanded by Christ is an ongoing condition for salvation. You know, it's not one of those things that once you're saved, it's done. It's a continual process. And it does not save us. Conditions of salvation, those things does not save us. It's when we respond to Christ. But it's still God's power and grace that enables us to live by His standards. It's important that we do this. This means that we must continually pray for that grace. I need God's grace. Amen? I need the grace of God in my life. I need Him moving in my life. I need Him to give me that grace because I am not worthy of His salvation. I am not worthy for the fact that Christ went to the cross and died for me. I'm not worthy of that. That's why I need the grace. But this means that we must continually pray for grace, receive it, put that grace into action by true faith and devotion to Christ. Now, because of the gift of God's power and grace, we are capable of doing God's will and living right as we follow Christ with all of our heart. God's word says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 10, it says this, "By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then he says, skip down to verse 10, he says, "For we are God's workmanship." You see, God always gives us the strength and the ability to obey Him and overcome sin. He gives us that ability. That's part of the full salvation that He works out through those who have entrusted their lives to Him and have been restored to a personal relationship with Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." God works by His Spirit within the lives of Christ followers to produce in them both the desire and the power to do what is good and right and to fulfill His purposes for their lives. However, God's work is not forced. God's not going to force His work on you. He's not going to force His will on you. You can resist His grace. Did you know that? You can choose to say, "I don't want to have anything to do with that." There are people walking around this planet that they just refuse. "I don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't believe in God." And so we can resist His grace. And so that's to say that we can reject God's help and we can reject God's guidance. We can go our own sinful and destructive way if we so choose. God's work within us is always dependent on our faithfulness and cooperation. It's up to us. We choose. But now here's something good for us to listen to. God's gift of grace, His favor, His help, His mercy that we do not deserve. Do you hear me? That's something we do not deserve. You and I, we don't deserve it at all. He freely gives it, but yet we don't deserve it. It does not cancel the need for action on our part. We must respond positively to God's gift of obedience. We're always free to reject God's grace, refuse to depend on Christ, refuse to pray for and accept the life of obedience, and God will not force Himself upon you. That is where free will comes into play. Brings me to my next point. Not depending on your good works. We must do the will of God, and you must not depend on your good works. Now look at verse 22 and 23 again. It says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That's pretty rough, isn't it? Man, just think about that. So just because you do good things for the church does not mean that you will find a reward in heaven. You see, I can clean the church every day. I can mow the lawn every week. I can go on missions trips. I can give millions of dollars to God's work. But if I don't have Jesus living in my heart, then I don't have authentic faith, and I won't make it to heaven. My works that I do will not get me there. Jesus clearly states that there will be many who believe they are serving him and who appear to do great works for him, yet in reality, they never had a true personal relationship with Christ. You know, to escape the temptation and deceit that will be very common in the end times, church leaders or any follower of Christ must be totally committed to the truth revealed in God's word. There is truth in God's word. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19 says, "And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city," which are described in this scroll. You see, John ends this revelation of Jesus Christ by warning of the terrible possibility of a believer losing his or her share in God's inheritance and eternal life with him. We must not have a careless attitude toward this warning and revelation or any part of God's holy word. Now, such an attitude includes choosing to believe only certain parts of God's revelation while rejecting other parts as unworthy or untrue, or simply dismissing the parts that we do not like. We can't do that. There are some things that you read in God's word and you look at it and you think, ouch, that hurts. Right? Man, you mean I can't do that? Really? But God, your word says, do I really have to, do I have to do that, what it says right there? And the answer is yes, we do. We can't just like some of it and not like some of it. We can't just live some of it and not live some of it. But we must never consider outward success or results from ministry as the standard by which to determine our relationship with Christ. Each of us must strive to know him deeply and to live by the instructions and guidelines in God's word. Now, are we all going to make mistakes? Yes. I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? Are you ready for this? It's a big secret. Y'all pay attention to this. I make mistakes. Did y'all know that? I do. I truly do. Matter of fact, you can ask my wife and kids. They'll tell you all the mistakes I make. I make mistakes. I mess up. And you know what I have to do? I have to go to an altar and I have to face God and I have to say, you know what, God? I'm coming to you and I'm asking for forgiveness. That brings me to number three. We have to ask, in order to have authentic faith, we must ask for forgiveness. Now, none of us are perfect. We are all going to make mistakes. Authentic faith is shown when we go to the Father and we ask for forgiveness of our sins. When you mess up, ask God for forgiveness. It's important that we do this. Don't let the shame, the guilt, or possibly the stubbornness that often accompanies sin cause you to distance yourself from God and the local church. I have known, I don't know how many people that will make mistakes, and because they make mistakes, they won't come back to church. Can I tell you that we as believers, as Christians, when you and I make mistakes, we should love each other even more. You know why? Because at that moment in our life, that's when we are needing help. That's when we are needing love. That's when we're needing support. I don't know how many times a pastor will make a mistake and all of a sudden he's ostracized from the church. Now, yes, that man made a mistake, and yes, you put your faith in him, and yes, he's supposed to be the man of God. But shouldn't we love that person now more? Don't they need our love? They need forgiveness. Do they deserve it? Probably not. But neither do you and I. Same thing goes with a believer that's in church. They love God, but then they make a mistake, and then they get ostracized, or people can't look at them anymore. It's those people that we should pull back in and love even more. Now, sometimes our love may be a little tougher than it is beforehand, but that's okay, because we're trying to let them see and know, hey, God has something great for them. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Did you hear that? Isn't it nice to know that we have an advocate that will go to the Father for us when we mess up? You see, John believed that born-again Christians are still capable of some kinds of sin. Now, however, he does not teach that the Christian must sin. Instead, he challenges his readers to rely on God's power so they can live without sin. For those who do on occasion give in to sin and break God's standards, the remedy is to confess and turn completely away from that sin. Now, Jesus' death as the atoning sacrifice for our sins and his ministry in heaven as one who speaks to the Father in our defense are the basis of our assurance of forgiveness and spiritual cleansing. And this is true the first time we come to Christ to receive forgiveness and salvation. It's also true on an ongoing basis as he continually serves as our advocate. You know, in a court case, an advocate is the person who speaks in court on behalf of a defendant. In God's court, the defender must himself be perfect and sinless. Guess what? That's not us. That means that Jesus is the only one qualified to defend us. Amen? So Jesus intercedes to his Father on the basis of his sacrificial death in our place and our active faith in him. You see, God's holiness and perfect justice required that a penalty be paid for humanity's offenses against him. Out of love for us, God himself provided the only means of completely meeting the requirement of the penalty for sin by sending his son Jesus to die in our place as our atoning sacrifice. Jesus took on himself the punishment for our sins and turned away God's wrath from us. It is because of Christ that we are able to go to the Father. One of the best illustrations that I can give you or that I've ever seen is you think of you got two sides and a big canyon in between. And you got God over here and us over here. And there's no way to get to the Father. So what did Jesus do? He died on a cross. And that cross made a bridge to guide us from our side over to God's side. That's what salvation did. Jesus became the advocate so that, guess what? We can go to the Father and we can confess our sins and say, God, I messed up. God, I messed up. And if God forgives us and doesn't hold our sins against us, then shouldn't we as human beings not hold sins against people? Shouldn't we show them love? Can I tell you, there are some bad people out there. There's people that need Jesus. And if they're not living the way that they should live, yes, we are to love them. And yes, at some point, believing and praying that they ask forgiveness and that God saves them, then hopefully we, in our hearts and in our lives, can show that love towards them even more. And celebrate with them. Rejoice with them. Forgiveness, it's now offered to everyone throughout the world. But it has to be personally received by turning to Christ in true faith and repentance. It's not forced upon us. Salvation is not, you know, God's not up there just waiting to smash us in the head, you know. you need to be saved. Boom, you know. Anybody ever played that whack-a-mole game? I mean, I just had a thought, you know. I mean, can you see just God up there with the hammer? And us as believers are popping up, and God's just like, you get saved, you get saved, you get saved. Boom, boom, you know. It's not done that way, you know. God's not going to force his salvation upon us. He's not up there playing a whack-a-mole game, you know. That's not how it works. He loves us and he cares for us. And, you know, as a believer, I want to be able to do the will of my Father, amen? I want to perform at the best of my ability. I want to complete the task that my Father has given me to do. And someday, I want to be able to stand before my Father and say, and him say the words to me that Paul, or me say those words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And in order to stand before God and say that, then I have to stay off the injury list. I have to have an authentic faith. I have to do the will of the Father, not depending on my good works. And when I have to go to the Father and ask forgiveness, swallow that pride. And hopefully one day when I stand before the Father, he will look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. But it takes me doing my part, having that authentic faith, so that I can stand before the Father someday and know in my heart that I did everything that I possibly could. And yes, there was times that I made mistakes, but I went to the Father for forgiveness, and I asked him for forgiveness. I depended on his will, not on my works, because my works isn't what's going to get me to heaven, amen? But it's my authentic faith, trusting and believing in him, and knowing that God has my best interest in mind. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can come before you today. And God, I pray for everybody that's here, that if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you would touch them, whether they're here in service with us or they're watching on YouTube this morning. God, I pray right now that you would touch their hearts, speak to their lives, and do a work in them right now so that they may receive a blessing from you, God. God, if there's anybody here that's living in sin, that has sin in their heart and their life, God, I pray for forgiveness upon their life. God, if there's anybody that's here that's trying to get everything done through their works and through what they can do, then God, I pray that they understand that it's not by works, but God, it's by faith. It's by faith that we do your will. Do the will that you have called us to do. So God, I pray for those lives, that you would touch them and move upon them. I want to tell you this morning, today may be your day. Maybe you're struggling in your salvation. You need to ask the Father for forgiveness. Maybe you're looking at works to move you along in your faith. But today is your day to repent of your sins. Make the decision to live a life that is pleasing to God. Ask God to forgive you today. I want to talk to everybody, both here and also those at home. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize that you need his grace, you need his forgiveness, you need hope, and you need change. It's not something that you earn by works like I talked about today. You don't deserve it. None of us do. But it is freely given to you, and that's why you're tuned in today. And it's time to say yes today by faith. Give Jesus your life. And if this is you, I want you to say this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If that's you and you made that your prayer today, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We truly do. I love when people surrender their life over to Christ and commit their life to Him. It's a beautiful sight. This morning, I want, before we take up an offering, first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone that's already given online this week. Thank you so much. And last week, I presented a missions project to you. And this morning, I want to show you a video about that project. Are we ready? We'll go ahead and take a look.
The open doors in Southern Asia are great. There are so many kids that need Christ there. They're being funneled into sex slavery. They're going into crime. They're entering religions that are false religions. And they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Royal Rangers International focuses on the individual needs of young people, their physical, spiritual, social, and mental needs.
It's an incredible privilege to be able to introduce this project called Ignite Eurasia.
Jesus gave us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Ignite Eurasia is giving us that opportunity.
And our objective is to reach four nations in Southern Asia with the gospel. This would include India, Sri Lanka, where we already have Rangers and we're going to strengthen it there. It would involve Nepal, where we've got one outpost and they're wanting to go national with it. And it would involve Bangladesh.
Ignite Eurasia wants to accomplish three things. Number one, we want to reach 10,000 young people with the gospel. Number two, we want to establish Royal Rangers in Nepal and provide resources in the Nepali language. And then number three, we want to train leaders and mentors so that they can establish new outposts in these nations and grow the ministry of Royal Rangers.
We have the opportunity to bring the gospel. I believe that Royal Rangers can reach people in your community that no other ministry can reach. And the same can be said of India, of Sri Lanka, of Nepal, and Bangladesh.
While I was ministering in Sri Lanka, I met a guy by the name of Santa Dalas. When he was 9 years old, his father took him to a Buddhist monastery to become a Buddhist monk. He studied and eventually became the young man who trained new converts to become Buddhist monks. One day, Santa met some young people who invited him to a meeting. He went to that meeting a number of times with them. The young people gathered around Santa and asked him if they could pray for him. And from that day forward, Santa became a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ.
To this day, he pastors a church with a thriving Royal Rangers outpost because he believes the light of the gospel can reach them through the methodology that Royal Rangers uses to befriend young people. And so as a result, the barriers are not there and Royal Rangers can reach them.
This is what Royal Rangers International is all about, going from nation to nation, reaching as many young people as we can.
We're asking every outpost in the world to participate in this project by what we're calling Raise Your Outpost or Raise Your Group. And what that simply means is you do a head count of how many young people are in your outpost, and you ask each of them to raise the equivalent of $1.20 a day for 1 month. And you do this once in the first year, and you repeat it again in the second year of this project. And if every outpost in the world does this, we will meet the financial needs of this project.
Ignite Eurasia is going to spark something awesome in the world. It's not only going to reach tens of thousands of kids, but it's going to continue on until Jesus comes.
So let's do this so that we can see heaven populated by young people from these four nations. Thank you.
So I did something a little bit different. I made a goal of $1,500 for our church. Now, this is a BGMC project. We have a few months to do this project, to do this, reach this goal. But I believe that you and I can. We're already, I believe it was at, we're right at about $200 so far. And that was just, we started last week. So I believe that with your help, I believe that we can reach this goal to help put Royal Rangers in those four nations. And so if you can help with this project, you can mark it. If you'll mark it BGMC on your envelope, you can mark it Royal Ranger International, Ignite Your Asia, however you want to designate it, we will know where it goes. We can place it in that account so that we can ship it to them so that they can use it to do a work for God's kingdom. I believe that God's got some great plans, and I'm excited that he's going to use us to help see his work being done in these nations through and with our church helping. Amen? So let me encourage you to do that this morning, and also our ushers will be at the back that you can place your gifts in the bag at the end as you go today. Can we pray over this offering before we go? Lord, we just come before you right now, and we thank you for this wonderful time that we've had in your presence. And God, I pray for every individual that's here that serves you. God, I pray that you would touch their hearts, touch their lives. God, that they may help with this project that goes forward, God. That in addition to what they're already given, God, and how you've blessed them time and time again, God, I pray that you would just move upon their hearts to stir them, God, to give to the missions that you have asked us to give. And God, we give you praise. We give you glory. God, I pray for blessings upon this church, God, that as we go in obedience and as we give in obedience what you've asked us to give, God, I pray that you would just bless us in a mighty way. God, that we can continue to do your will and to continue to do your work. And God, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We ask all these things in your most precious and wonderful name. Amen and amen. Y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 7 if you can be here. And don't forget, we have